on your part.
Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers. Be sure to check out ontrackandfield.com. It's a website that has everything you need for your team, for your athletes, equipment-wise, gear, everything, including they sponsor this podcast, and I love working with them. So the end of this podcast, stick around because we'll tell you more information about how to get in contact with them, how to save 15%, and even how to get batons engraved, which Tony, my guest, and myself have been recipients of this really cool thing with RelayBatons.com as well. For the next few months, we're going to be previewing one of the coolest, and I've been a part of it, so I'm very biased, but one of the coolest clinics around, and it's the Track and Football Consortium, also known as the TFC 2021. So for the next couple of months, we're going to have guests that are going to be speaking at this later in December. And if you're looking at this podcast, we're recording in pretty much the end of October. But with me right now is one of the co-directors and founders of the TFC, Tony Holler. Tony Holler is a coach, Plainfield North High School in Illinois. He retired from teaching, but you couldn't stop him from coaching. The guy travels the world, travels the country, talking about how to make the world faster. He's a dear friend of mine. He is at numerous articles, tons of things, including workouts, education. You can find anything if you just Google his name, Tony Holler. He's the mentor of all mentors. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's fun, JT.
All right, let's just get into it right away. Talk to me about the TFC. What is going on with it? I know it's virtual. My entire coaching staff's going to hop on it. But why virtual? What kind of names are going to be showing up? And why are you excited about it?
Well, we went virtual really for two reasons. One, we did it last year and it was, we sold more tickets to it than any TFC we've ever done. And, you know, part of that was COVID, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of people that can't fly in, you know, that can't give up a weekend. And the fact that they will have anybody that buys a ticket and for $199, it's very fairly priced. You get access to 20 presentations that you can watch at your own leisure. You have 121 days to watch these 20 presentations. And then I think what's really cool is that Chris and I watch every presentation. We take pages of notes, and then we have a podcast with that person after we have watched the presentation. And so we are able to really ask the questions I think that everybody else probably has in their mind. And then, you know, one of the reasons we were virtual as well is because, you know, as of a month ago, we weren't sure if any venues in Chicago would commit to us. And you know, even though the COVID situation is much, much better right now in Illinois than it was a month ago, we're still happy that we're virtual. And because we're virtual, we have probably the most international flavor to this TFC that we've ever had.
Yeah, you're taking away the excuses of not being able to go. In fact, especially during the time of December, people don't want to travel because they got a lot going on at the end of the part of the year, right? I mean, we have in-laws we have to avoid. So you are giving us an excuse to, well, if you can't make the live session, you're giving us the opportunity to watch this thing later. Tell me some of those international names and why we should be excited about them.
Well, to tell you the truth, what we do, Chris and I are very close, but we're very different. You know, we're kind of a yin and yang kind of guy. You know, I'm a democratic socialist and he's a conservative, so we don't talk politics. and you know, I'm a science teacher, or was, and he was a history teacher. But in our training, I'm very folksy. I'm pretty much, you know, like the common man. You know, I think of myself as a high school coach. He is a genius, gadgety. He is a scientist that teaches history. And I'm like a historian that teaches it. So really weird. So he is the guy that brought in all the international people. So I hate even talking to him. And he's learned these international people because he has spoken a couple of times in New Zealand. And he's been able to rub shoulders with all these brilliant people. And, you know, it's really interesting, but other countries really spend money on experts in coaching because they don't have as many athletes as we do. So they have some of the leading people in the world, in New Zealand and Australia and England. So the nine people I brought in are kind of like the non-sciencey part of the TFC. I did bring in Jonas Dodu, who is a dear friend of mine in England. And he's going to speak with Ryan Grubbs, who is the S&C football coach from Liberty University. And that's just going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see that. We're bringing in Joey Gracio from Florida Atlantic. I think he is a total rock star in the S&C world. I think he's basically a feed the cast S&C football guy at the college level. Dan John. I don't know. Have you read any books by Dan John?
Not until that I saw that you posted something on Twitter that I immediately went out there and was like, who is this guy? Because his resume was crazy.
He's a former thrower. But he's written like five or six books. And I read my first book. Actually, Joel Smith, another TFC guy, actually told me that I reminded him of Dan John. And I'm like, gosh, I got to meet this guy. He must be a weirdo, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Dan John says yes. And I asked him what his Twitter handle was. And he says, I'm a 64-year-old male. I don't do Twitter. So that's just the kind of guy Dan John is. And so I can't wait. We got a football coach from Minnesota named Garrett Mueller, who coaches at a school of 600 kids. I love these kind of guys. And he's a total feed the cat, sprint-based football type of guy. And he's undefeated this year. Matter of fact, he's undefeated at every level at his high school. And so we're bringing him in. We got Ernie Clark. I don't know if you know Ernie, but
I do. San Jose State. He's now one of my guys because he's just down the street. Now, down the street's about 4.5 hours. But,
you know, he coached like two of the top 10 400 meter runners in the nation at a small school called Ashland University. So, I mean, this guy is spectacular. Lee Taft, who you had on your show recently, a very good podcast. Lee is just, everybody loves Lee. We got the coach from Harvard, the men's coach, Mark Mangiacotti. Mark has put out content. He's been putting out content for 20 years and he is brilliant. He's a Tom Telez guy. Can't wait. Zach DeChant, maybe our first baseball-sided guy. He's from TCU, and he is a sprint-based baseball trainer, basically. He makes fun of people that runs poles, you know, and he wants to produce fast, explosive athletes, which to me and you are like, hell yeah. What we do. But of course, as you know, baseball is all about lifting and grueling conditioning. You know, like I remember, you know, people did stair climbers and things, you know, just silly stuff. And then, of course, Dan Casey is another dear friend. He's the offensive coordinator at Episcopal High School in Houston. And a funny story, he just went there this year. And even though it's a school of like 600 kids, they had three guys drafted in the NFL last year from this little high school. So he's going to do just fine there. And if, you know, he's a young guy that's just brilliant. And so anyway, I'm bringing in kind of the salt of the earth guys. And then Chris is bringing in the guys that are going to blow you away.
Right. And then, so where's the best place we can get a list of all the people that are on this docket?
Yeah. Trackfootballconsortium.com. It's probably the longest damn, you know, URL ever. Trackfootballconsortium.com. You can do it there. Also, Twitter is at TF Consortium. And I have it pinned to the very top, and it's only $199 if you buy your ticket before November 15th. So I would suggest people get on that as soon as possible.
All right. So we talked about the TFC, which I'm excited about because not a lot of people have opportunities to hear or know which ones they should go to. What clinic should I go to? What conference should I go to? What's worth my time? This one's worth your time. And let me also transition to this. You mentioned the sprint-based philosophy, feed the cats. Can you explain it? Because I have some questions about feed the cats. Can you explain just maybe like a real quick like summary of what feed the cats is?
Yeah, I think it's really important to talk about the origin. The origin was in 1999. I was already a good track coach, but like all track coaches, I struggled to get the best kids in the school to want to run track. I still say that every school has a great track team. They're just not out. And there's a reason why they're not out, is because your track program sucks and the kids don't like to run, especially cats. Cats are fast twitch, explosive athletes that coaches see as lazy because they're cats. And that's just the way they do things. And so in order to get the cats out for track in 1999, I switched to a sprint-based program where instead of being 400 meters based, which my coach was in high school, everybody was a 400 meter guy. You move the genetically fast guys down and you move the slow guys up to the mile, 2 mile. I went away from that and said, we're going to train all of our 400 and down guys with short sprints. And we're going to record, rank, and publish. And we are not going to run anymore. No more running, no laps. We haven't run more than 200 meters in practice in 22 years. Never, not one single time. Never a warm-up lap, never a cool-down lap. We run 3 high-speed sprints on speed days, and we go home. So it's minimal. It's lovable. I say that kids are really good at what they like, and they're obsessed with what they love. So kids fall in love with track and field in a Feed the Cats program. When you get to coach a group of kids that love your sport, you become a better coach because you know, people always say that the team reflects the coach. Hell, the coach reflects the team too. I always tell my guys, my best teams inspired me. I didn't have to inspire them. They inspired me. And that's a beautiful thing in life. You know, like if you're a father and your kids inspire you, you'll become a better father. You know, so all those things go into it. And of course, it's evolved. You know, we do lactate work during the season in order to learn how to sprint the 400. But we've found we don't have to do that in the off season. We have totally sold out, 100% sold out to doing nothing of more than 5 seconds in the off season. Nothing ever more than 5 seconds. And you say, well, gee, you know, we need some lactate work. I have found that if you start doing lactate work about 3 weeks before the first meet, you'll run good in the 4x4 in the first meet. Those adaptations come pretty quick. Now, improving your speed, those adaptations do not come quick. I always say that speed grows like a tree. I mean, next year you'll see how the tree has grown, but next week you won't. So we have to water that damn tree of speed every day. And, you know, we have all these slogans like tired is the enemy, not the goal. Matter of fact, that's the title of my upcoming book, Tired is the Enemy, Not the Goal. We also say that we never let today ruin tomorrow. So we're always microdosing. Now, if we do a hard workout during the season, which we do, or a meet, that's hard. Mm-hmm. We always take the next day off. Always. Thanks. So our kids, even though they're really tired and beat up after a hard workout or a hard meet, they know that tomorrow they sleep in. And cats sleep 20 hours a day, so that fits in real well.
It's amazing what happens when kids, doesn't matter if they're in the Olympics or they're 8 years old or anyone in between, when they see the value in something, they're sold out. You use the word obsessed. I love it. And that's the same for a teacher in the classroom. Why do kids not like your class? Probably because they don't see the value in it. So created an opportunity for them to see value. All right. So because you and I are friends, you sent me a 3,400 word document, little article for Simply Faster that's not published yet. And it's basically Feed the Cats, 10 misconceptions. So I'm reading through this, like playing devil's advocate in my own mind. So I chose two kind of moments that I mean, this is my opportunity to talk about something that's not published. I'm going to take it. All right. So here's a misconception, and this is your opportunity publicly to tell us your thoughts. Feed the Cats is only for elite athletes. Like you said, the good kids. It's only for the elite athletes. It's only for developmental athletes that are not very good. It's only for cats, and it's only for high school boys. So that's a misconception that people are going to look at this and say, so what do you have to say for that?
Yeah. So as you know, well, you probably don't know as well as I do, because I put myself out there and I'm opinionated a lot. And so I get these people, these 24-year-olds that you know, it was maybe a sprinter at Iowa or something that wants to be, you know, on the mountaintop as the sprint guru of the world, even though he's 24 years old or something. And so they troll me and they, you know, they're just kind of nasty. And so I just block them or mute them or whatever. But these people that want to poke holes in my ideas, they will say things like it's only for elites. And that's probably because I coached a really fast guy, Marcellus Moore, right. You know, super fast guy. But, you know, I try to tell people that he didn't improve all that much. He improved some, and improvements are really good for a 14-year-old that runs 10:40. You know, and when you run 10:40 at 14 years old, which is the world record for that age, you're not going to improve a whole lot. So 4 years later at Purdue, he's running a 10:12 at the age of 18. So he's pretty good. Well, people see that and they say, oh, yeah, it worked for him, but not for the developmental kids. Well, I say the developmental kids, as you well know, it's the slow kids, the untrained kids that are going to really, really benefit from sprint training. So then there's other people that want to dismiss Feed the Cats as a developmental program. Like, oh, it's just for high school. College coaches love to do that. Oh, Feed the Cats is BS. You know, you couldn't do that at a college. Well, yeah, we can talk about that too. So in my opinion, it's good for developmental and it's good for elites. And then they say, well, some people say, well, yeah, he's got cats. We don't have any cats.
Of course.
I wanted to say, well, because your program sucks, because your program is miserable. Yeah, you have a good cross-country team and you train your sprinters like short distance runners and you will never get a cat ever come out for track. And if he does, you'll quit on the third day. So I tell these people that even if you don't have cats, if you have a fitness type of plan for them, they're never going to become more cat-like, that you have to work on their explosiveness and their speed, no matter how slow they are. And then people say, oh, it's, you know, it doesn't work with middle schoolers and girls. Well, middle school needs a lot of help. I hate to say it, but most middle school coaches are custodial. They took the job because they're a nice guy, nice girl, you know, and I'll help out and track. And so then they go out and stretch and run laps. And you're never going to have a positive program when you stretch and run laps. Instead, you need to start timing short sprints, record, rank, and publish, celebrate improvement, all those things. And then kids will start to like it. And then they'll want to work even harder at those easy things. For girls, I think the same thing happens. People think that girls do not have very high outputs. If you don't have high outputs, then we have to train the aerobic system. What? We're going to jog girls because they're not as fast as boys. And I get so tired of watching girls' programs just basically run laps. Every day they run laps and laps and laps. And yeah. And then, of course, there's the college coaches. And I'm not very nice to college coaches. I have a few that I love. But, you know, my best sprinter went away to college this year. And he just texted me the other day that their workout was 12 times 200. And he said, Coach, I've never been through anything like that. I go, I know. The most you've ever done is 3 times 200 because we cared about speed and not making things hard and miserable. But you got to encourage him, like, hey, this coach knows what he's doing. You're going to be fine. But deep down, I'm like, this coach does not know what he's doing. And every college seems to have the exact same blueprint. They just run their ass off all fall and lift hard and make it really miserable, thinking that somehow it's going to result in speed in the spring. And maybe for 10% of the guys, that happens. But for 90% of them, they never match their high school PRs. They're miserable. They're hurt. The whole college model for sprinting is really weird. Basically, that whole section, that was, I think, number one of the misconceptions, is that Feed the Cats is only for a limited group. And so basically, I just tried to blow holes in that criticism.
I can't tell you how often it is that a junior high kid coming into high school, the first question, he goes, hey, are you fast? They go, yeah. What's your mile time? So why are we asking every single kid what their mile time is? And ironically, the high school or the middle school that feeds into our high school, there's a few, but the biggest one, the track is not even 400 meters around. They made it wrong. So all these kids have no idea about the mile. I'm like, how cool would it be in the world where kids are walking over and they're not talking about the mile, they're talking about their 10 meter fly or their 40 yard dash. That would be a fun world that we can all, that utopia will not exist, but it would be cool. You actually are transitioning me to my second question, which has to do with this idea of college. And I want to preface with this. You and I have been around for a while. You've been around a lot longer than me, but this idea, that was not a knock on you, by the way. There's this where you see your high school kid go into college, and there's high school kid could have a lot of, like Marcellus, like you were saying, is doing great. And he's, you know, he's running unbelievable. I was watching him at the NCAAs. He looks awesome. And I know he was young, so he's still growing into his body. He's becoming a man, really. But watching all these high school kids see no lasting success at the college level. And then you also see these teams around you that are running these kids so hard. They're overtraining them. And then when they get to college, they flame out. They have no opportunity to see any new PRs. Feed the Cats, from what you're telling me, is different. So one of those misconceptions is Feed the Cats is not really for the post-collegiate athlete. I'm sorry, even more, post-high school athlete. It's not for anybody. Can you talk about this idea of like not overtraining the kids and even getting this type of programming, getting kids ready for future success? How Feed the Cats even does that?
Well, I think, you know, the best predictor of future success is to find something you really like. You know, I say often that the secret to life is find something you're good at and then go into work. You know, you found something you're good at and you've gone to work. And it's just so simple. It's crazy. Too many people are looking for happiness, and happiness is a byproduct of doing something you're good at. And so what I want to do, let's talk about chemistry. As a chemistry teacher, the most hated class in most high schools is chemistry. And I told my kids on the first day, this is going to be your favorite class of your 4-year high school career. That makes me have to work pretty hard at making it enjoyable for them. And I could care less whether I skipped chapter 10 or taught it for a month. If kids love chemistry and can't wait to take AP chemistry, and they're thinking of chemistry majors and professions, I have done my job. And so if I can get 100 track kids to love track and field, which is, by the way, not a very lovable sport. Maybe where you at, in California, maybe it's a little more lovable when it's like perfect weather every day.
Yeah. We have our crosses to bear too.
But in Illinois, it is wet and 20 mile an hour winds, and it's miserable weather. And anyway, it's kind of like chemistry. It's a hard fight to make it enjoyable. And like you, I put a lot of stuff in the t-shirts and uniforms. And I do a ton of work with website, Twitter. I take pictures at every meet. And all that stuff is trying to create an experience that you would like your own kid to go through. Now, if you do that, Maybe I'm not doing a good job preparing my guys to run 12 200s in October in college, but that's the college coach's problem. That's not mine. And I do think that the sprinter that I was just talking about loves track so much that he'll put up with that crap and not quit because he loves it. And he shouldn't have to put up with it, but he will. So I think that love thing is really, really important. But I can't let college coaches off the hook so fast. There was a guy that got 800 retweets from Purdue 3 years ago, and the tweet was brilliant. He said, Monday, I hate track. Tuesday, I hate track. Wednesday, I hate track. Thursday, I hate track. Friday, I hate track. Saturday, thank you, God, I love track. You know, track meets, or Sunday, I'm sore as hell, I hate track. Well, if you hate track, oh, and he got 800 retweets and 5,000 likes because track athletes all over the nation related to that. Mm-hmm. And what I say is that guy would have been faster if I was his coach, because he would love, I say, let the game, if it's football or something, or let the track meet be the hardest thing you do. Keep practice. I'm not grab ass fun, but keep practice meaningful, significant, competitive. Let kids perform in practice. If that's happening, they don't hate track anymore. And people that love something will just lay it all on the line. People think that feed the cats is soft. When people really love something, they'll fight for it. And so it's really a system based on love, you know, and that's something I'm proud of.
It's pretty amazing when you start talking, and if you're a listener to this, you're hearing Tony's passion come out. I mean, he can't help himself. But to give kids an opportunity to fall in love with something and love being part of it. And that's what a track and field coach does. In fact, that's what all high school coaches do. So this is our plea to you, high school coach, if you're listening, give your kids opportunities for lasting success. We don't have to kill them. We don't have to kill them in high school. These can be some of the best moments of their life. And then they're ready for that next moment, which could be hopefully a collegiate career in somewhere. I mean, all these athletes are going to be athletes somewhere, and might be at softball games for their church, but who knows? So anyways, if you're listening to this, Tony, gosh, you and I could talk for probably five more hours, but let me cut it off. And I want to just give a couple highlights. Be on the lookout for that article, FTC, Feed the Cats, 10 Misconceptions. It's pretty cool with Simply Faster. And I'm sure Tony, myself, and everybody else will retweet that thing. You have a seminar coming up on Feed the Cats.
It's the second one I've done. We did one in Wichita. Me and my two sons that are also coaches did one in Wichita. And we had about 90 people show up from like 11 different states. But then COVID hit and we haven't had anything going on. So I'm doing one in South Sioux City, Nebraska. I'm flying into Sioux City, Iowa, which is just over the river. And so I will be doing 3 hours of presentations on Friday night, November 12th, and then 6 hours the next day, all me, and it's all Feed the Cats. And I think we've already have 85 people signed up. It's only $75, but we have people from, I think 12 states coming in, you know, just random. And, you know, it's fun because, you know, it's a group of people that really want to talk the same language. You know, there are people like me and you and Kula, you know, like when right. we get together, we're trouble, you know, because you know what I'm saying? Because we're not arguing about much, you know, we're just, you know, like building on each other constantly. And that's what, when we get a group of people that are really in it for the kids and really in it for this speed and explosive type of training. And by the way, there's lots of football coaches. I mean, Feed the Cats football is huge these days.
And Feed the Cats lacrosse and Feed the Cat. I mean, we're seeing this all over the place. It's so fun to watch the world get faster one sport at a time, even though out here, I don't recognize lacrosse as a sport because they take my track kids. So,
yeah, as soon as they start taking my track kids, I'm going to put a knife in lacrosse. I'm out. I'm not ever talking to another lacrosse group.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then TFC. Tickets are on sale now. I know there's an early bird special. My coaching staff and I are signing up, and we can go to the trackfootballconsortium.com. I know on Twitter it's TF Consortium. I'm sure you and I, if anybody wanted to reach out on Twitter, can reach out to us as well. Any lasting parting thoughts for us?
Yeah, well, it's just really fun to get together, me and you, and talk again. You know, we've known each other for what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
5 years? Something like that.
I think so. Yeah.
And, I think it's when I look back at my coaching career, I will be more proud of the associations I made along the way than my state championships or, you know, my 4x4 records or blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. It is, you know, and that's what's fun when we go on journey together. I think men are especially like that, you know, because we used to go on, you know, hunts together back in, you know, 50,000 years ago. And that must've been fun, you know? And I think we miss that in the modern world. And so it's really fun to have close friendships, even if they're from Southern California.
Yeah. Well, having some of these coaching relationships all over the country just makes us better. And so, yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Your greatest legacy is not going to be feed the cats. It's going to be the coaching tree, the legacy of just all these different people throughout the country that are collaborating and talking and developing friendships, and all their kids benefit. So this podcast is brought to you by ontrackandfield.com. Stick around. We'll tell you how to save 15% on any purchase, and 15% goes a long, long way when you buy track and field equipment. So relaybatons.com as well. And Tony, you're a legend. You're a friend. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. See you, JT.
Thanks for listening to the On Track and Field podcast with this week's guest, Tony Holler, and our host, JT Ayres. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Competition and meet legal custom engraved relay batons, water bottles and tumblers, and OnTrackAndField.com for all things track and field related. Be it competition or training, make sure to check us out online at OnTrackAndField.com and save up to 15% on your entire order when you enter Track Talk upon checkout. And make sure you check us out on the gram and Twitter at On Track, the letter N, field. At On Track and Field.